You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Hello, sports gamblers. Get comfy, fill up your coffee, turn up your headphones. Get ready for the Bet Slippin' Podcast to drop some betting dimes on you. I'm a host here, Sportsbook Wire contributor as well. My name's Jeff Clark. I'm on the line with my colleague, Eston McLaren. Eston, what's up, brother?
Hey, Jeff, just counting up those winnings from week one. It was a good first week of the season, the NFL season, and looking forward to keeping it going and keeping it going with you.
Yeah, you beat me in our little head-to-head battle that we had going last week.
I sure did.
You beat me 1-2. We went head-to-head on, and this is something that we're going to do every week throughout the NFL season, but we're going to talk about the games and any games that we like that differ from each other in that specific game. We'll take it to a bet. We'll make a bet out of it. Still finalizing the circumstances or the payouts or how the bet will be graded, but that is something that we're going to be doing moving forward. You got me. What did you get me on last week? You got me on the Jets. You got me on the Panthers, and then yeah. I got you on the Bengals before line movement.
Yeah, you're lucky we filmed this on a Monday last week, a day early, so there was some time for that line to move. I lost the bet with you. I got a push on the real life line of an even 3, so yeah, the Chargers, they're on the blacklist here early on in the year. Figured it happened at some point this season. Wasn't quite sure it happened this early and against the Bengals, but here we are. Either way, the New York Jets stink, and the Carolina Panthers, not as good as you thought they were.
Now, their offense was as good as I thought they were, but their defense was actually even worse. I thought they were going to hold up a little bit better because the Raiders aren't very dynamic, but we'll get into all that later on. Last week, I was in Las Vegas. I actually stayed at the MGM. I entered the D's Circus Sports Football Betting Contest. They have over 3,000 entries. First place. Will pay out over $1 million. Pays out, I think, 10 spots, quarterly prizes. I went 1-3-1 last week because, unfortunately, I did not get the Bengals at +3.5 in the contest. I got it at +3. So I pushed there. I won in some other spots against MGM. I caught them bugging, but I didn't catch you bugging. Good stuff. Oh, actually, I did catch you bugging. My bad. So what, I got you and I got you and MGM, but I didn't get the Circa. So okay. We don't look as good as we should. The Bet Slippin' Podcast.
It's a long season. Hopefully going to be a long season. I mean, it's off to a great start. So the games were better than I think anyone really, the most optimistic person could have hoped for. So
yeah, well, we were just complaining before we started recording about all the lame-ass calls in the NBA playoffs. The NFL did a good job cleaning up a whole bunch of holding penalties. There were some iffy or real sketchy defensive holdings and defensive pass interferences we might dip into as we're covering the Week 2 games. But, yeah, overall, NFL put out a pretty good Week 1 product. Do you have any, like, other... No, we don't have to talk about Week 1 specifically. We'll just address some of those narratives or some of our points when we're talking about Week 2. I'm a little overwhelmed, Dustin. We're in a goddamn sports boom right now. We have the U.S. Open, which is coming up, the Golf U.S. Open, the Tennis U.S. Open just finished. The U.S. Open's coming up soon, and I know you're going to talk about that later in the podcast, or maybe I can just tee it up to you now and you can take over. We also, the Stanley Cup playoffs are finalizing. We're getting closer to the Stanley Cup finals themselves. Dallas punched their ticket in yesterday, right?
And
Yes. What do we got? Game Dallas six or seven?
Game five between the Lightning and the Stars going on as we're recording this. So by the time this is out, the Lightning may be in there, or the Lightning, who are up 1-0, or the Islanders, excuse me, who are up 1-0 before we started filming. Maybe they'll force a game six. Listeners can find that out tomorrow on their own time.
Yeah, and we have a game seven in the NBA as well to finalize the Western Conference finals. I use final twice. I hate that. I'm not editing it, though. I want everyone to see my weaknesses, and we're going to play through everything here, guys. All no secrets to the listeners. So the Western Conference Finals is close to being filled out with the Clippers or the Nuggets are going to move through and game seven here. Nuggets are trying to come from a 3-1 deficit for two series in a row. We'll see how that plays out. You will all know the ending of that game before you get this podcast. Most likely, unless you're like a super fan. We will actually have it out mid-game.
Hey, yeah. So hopefully for those people, they'll catch that.
Do you have any leans regarding bets for the NBA Finals, or who's going to win the NBA Championship or the Stanley Cup?
I'm tapped out on NBA. I hope the Heat beat the Celtics. I've had enough of the Celtics. We were ranting a bit about them before the show, kind of just sick of them. So go Heat, I guess. And then the West, I'm down with either of them. I would prefer the Clippers or the Nuggets over the Lakers, I suppose, but whichever. And then in the NHL, yes, I have a Tampa Bay Lightning futures ticket I'm clinging on to, hoping to catch them. I got them at plus 1,200 around the middle of the actual regular season. So they're now minus 165 without having booked their spot. Actually, they're the favorite over the Dallas Stars, who are actually in the Stanley Cup final. So plus 1,200, not a huge payout by any means, but a nice little ticket to cash.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Scopin' Futures.
All right, so let's hop over to Scopin' Futures because we have a whole bunch of BetMGM bugging to get to, a whole week two feast to start munching on. So just a couple Scopin' Future notes here. While I was at the MGM, I caught, this is both Scopin' Futures and maybe a little BetMGM bugging, but I got the Chiefs after they'd won. This is the Friday after the NFL kickoff where the Chiefs won 34-20 over the Texans, excuse me. I got the Chiefs at plus 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. Other books, we're not going to name their names. Shout out to BetMGM. They provide all the odds and lines for this podcast. All of the listeners in Colorado, New Jersey, Nevada, Indiana, West Virginia, make sure you check out BetMGM's online sports book and their sports betting app. It's awesome. But I went to the actual brick and mortar sports book in Vegas, and I got Chiefs plus 6-1 after being up 1-0. Most other books had it at either plus 400, or the lowest I saw was actually plus 450. So I jumped all over this. I guess the question I have for you, Eston, is if you were to make this bet for the next 4 years, are you profiting?
Get the Chiefs at plus 600 each year for the next 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're asking me if they're going to win the Super Bowl in the next 4 years? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think getting them after week one at plus 600 is incredible value to me. And I know everyone's always on the Super Bowl champs to repeat, and it never happens, rarely ever happens.
Yeah, unless you're the Patriots.
Right. And, you know, you look at the week one overreactions. I don't care. The Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in football, and it's not particularly close. And I think this weird offseason, it probably helped them, man. It's taken away that Super Bowl hangover effect that some teams sometimes experience, and that's not going to be a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a very good veteran head coach, Andy Reid, and they have the best quarterback in the game in Patrick Mahomes, and they have a really good rookie running back, which they didn't really need, but they have him.
It's like the to the victor goes the spoils type thing, or they're what's the term when you're just, you got it too good? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is just just padding the stats, really, for the Chiefs. And they're a scary yep. team, but I'm less scared of them now that I got them at 6-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a pretty comfortable ticket. And now, it usually on a futures ticket this far out, that wouldn't be considered good value. But you watch a half of a Kansas City Chiefs game, and that comes across as great value for sure. And for you to get that after that week one win is, I'm in favor of it.
Right. Well, where I do agree with BetMGM is having the number one and two favorites being the Baltimore Ravens and the Chiefs. I get that, but at the time that I made the bet, the Ravens are also 6-1, and you know, I don't think there's such thing as overreacting to the defending Super Bowl champions winning by two scores on opening day. Like I don't like if you. If you're confident about that team and they have the exact same roster, then like I don't think that's an overreaction. It's just kind of like doubling down on the defending champions. I thought it was crazy. Like as I'm looking at it, it's like, wait, Chiefs are 1-0. They looked every bit as good as everyone thought they were. Actually, they probably left points on the table, right? They could have been more aggressive, if anything.
Yep.
And they were the same odds as the Ravens. It's like it was almost like gun to my head. Like, I got to bet this. Oh, my God. Are you guys robbing me? Maybe. Who knows? Maybe I'm robbing you.
Yeah. That number could have been a whole lot lower, and they still could have got action on it. You'd have to think. I'm very surprised they left it that high. But, hey, congrats to you, and congrats to anyone else who has that. Yeah, I don't even want to say how it could lose because no one wants to wish anything bad on anyone.
Yeah, don't get dark. Come on. This is a positive podcast.
That's the only way it's going to happen. These Kansas City Chiefs proved they're the champs and proved they're the team to beat in the NFL. And I didn't see any team on the football field in week one who can really compete with them.
Okay. Also, another futures ticket that I'm actually going to cash. And I talked to you guys on the first Bet Slipping podcast about this, and I wrote about it on me and Eston's website that we contribute for, sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. You can get daily handicaps, daily posts about all upcoming sporting events, futures. We have a whole bunch of great gambling takes and handicaps on that website. But one of them actually was I gave the Padres out at a team win total at 30.5, and they have already eclipsed that. They're a game and a half back of the Dodgers for first in the NL West, and they're even better than I thought they were going to be. So just wanted to pat myself on the back because I took some shit in the beginning of this podcast since you beat me.
Yeah, the San Diego Padres once again kind of came into this season as that off-season champion team, and you know, in the past it hasn't worked out for them. It's absolutely working out for them this year. Fernando Tatis Jr. is probably one of the most marketable stars MLB has had in a long time, because Mike Trout isn't all that exciting of a person. But yeah, I had a San Diego Padres World Series ticket at +6,600. They're now down to +1,000. So like you, I'm about to win some money on the San Diego Padres, I feel. And I'm quite happy about that.
Yeah. We're not going to talk much about baseball because we have a whole week two slate to get to. What we're doing now is we're going to break down the week two slate. This is more of a tentative programming decision. We'll see how it plays out. But we're going to try to cover every game, talk about our leans, likes, and loves her locks. And again, if we go head to head on any of these, then we'll make a bet on it. Don't want to talk too much more about baseball, but I do like the Padres doubling down on what they got going on over there. And, you know, I have a bunch of Padre fans in my life since I'm out here in Southern California, and they're excited, as they should be. What do you say we do BetMGM bugging?
Let's do it. See if I can make it 2 weeks in a row where I just absolutely obliterate you and BetMGM.
All right. Take it easy, bro.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM Buggin'.
All right. So I teed up what we're talking about already. We're going through the week two NFL slate. We're going through every game. Let's just get right into it. Start with the Thursday night game. Cleveland Browns are hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. The spread is Browns favored -6. Hold on, pulling it up on BetMGM now. The over-under is 43.5. I'll let you take this one first. Are you leaning anywhere, passing? What are your feelings?
If I actually did place a bet on this one today, I'm going to take a small shot at the Bengals +210 money line. The Cleveland Browns are -250 home favorites after getting absolutely beat down by the Baltimore Ravens in week one. The spread, Browns six, -110 on both sides, and the total. I don't like that total at all. I really don't have a good feel for this. I think both defenses maybe suck. I'm not entirely sure. And the Thursday nighter, those are always weird point totals. So not a big Thursday night football over under better. Small bet on the Bengals money line is probably the only taste I'm going to have on this one. Maybe some in-game player props.
All right. Well, I'm leaning towards the Browns -6. I think the Bengals are a little overvalued because they got like a sports betting moral victory by pushing the +3 or cashing the 3.5, depending on where you got it. And I also think there's a little overreaction to the Baltimore beatdown of the Browns. Baltimore outclassed the Browns. I kind of saw that coming, although I didn't put any money on it, so I guess I didn't officially see it coming. But I don't, despite, what was it, with 38-6, despite it being a 30-plus point game, I don't know. I feel like it's not baseball or basketball where you can just get obliterated and shake it off next week. But I think they'll be all right, and they'll be able to keep in mind that it was a great Baltimore team. The Browns are 4-2 straight up, 4-2 against the spread in primetime games with Baker Mayfield. And it feels like they always get weak competition, like an injured Jets team. But wouldn't weak competition be fair? A fair way to describe the Cincinnati Bengals, who just had the one pick? I think so. Also, I lean Bengals -6, but I like under 43.5. The under cashed in all six of those games, primetime games that the Browns have played in with Baker Mayfield. I think it's a better play because we got a rookie quarterback, plus the Browns offense that struggled in week one with a new system. And they have a banged-up offensive line. Bengals could get back Mike Daniels and Geno Atkins, which is going to make it a nightmare for Baker Mayfield. I do like the talent in the Browns defense, but it's more of like a play against the Bengals and the rookie quarterback as well, and just going under.
Okay. Yeah. That would probably be my lean if you were to force me to make a pick on this one. Like I said, the Thursday nighter, and especially the first one this year, the short week, and you know what everyone keeps saying is going to be a weird season. I think that's going to have even more of an impact than the regular Sunday to Thursday turnaround. So under is probably the smart play. I'm staying away from that spread either side. It's Bengals money line or nothing for me. And you know, maybe play some touchdown bets in game.
I'm really surprised, Dustin. You don't sound very excited about the Cincinnati Bengals and Cleveland Browns. I'm very, very surprised you're not super excited about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns.
I wanted to be. I came into this season with high hopes on the Browns again. Over the years, I guess I've become, you know, a little more sympathetic toward the Cleveland Browns, and you know, I'm trying to cheer them on. We know we've discussed in the show in our divisional previews. I like Baker Mayfield as a quarterback a lot more than you do.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, I don't. They're certainly not worth the -250 for me, and I think -6 is a little much as well.
You were nice. These teams suck. Yeah. This game is probably going to suck. Hopefully, yeah, we get some awesome hits. I'm going old school football. I want to see some awesome hits, crazy broken tackles. I want to see some action. That's what I'm hoping for.
You kind of sense the, you know, the beginning of Thursday night football. The matchups have taken a lot of heat for, you know, being bad. But you think the first one of the season they could, you know, kind of schedule a good one? You know, you got the marketability, I guess, in all those Cleveland Browns underachieving superstars and, you know, Joe Burrow and his receiving fleet in Cincinnati. But
just feel, yeah, like the scheduling team just, like, I don't know, they didn't consult anyone and they just got like an internal conversation, got all excited about, oh, Bengals got a number one pick. Browns got a number one pick. Browns got several number one picks. Oh, they'll love it. Yeah, yeah, they'll love it. They haven't had sports in forever. They'll love Bengals, Browns, second week, Thursday night football, whatever. But I'm not excited. However, I'm such a junkie that I'm going to watch it. I'm going to put some money on. I'm going to lose to BetMGM. They're probably going to catch me bugging on this one. I like the under 43.5.
Okay.
Let's go to your Super Bowl
pick. I'll leave you alone with that. All right, let's move on. We got Rams, Eagles, and not a whole lot more exciting.
Oh, man.
What are your thoughts on the Eagles losing to Washington football team, giving up 27 unanswered points?
I fully expected Washington to be the only 1-0 team in the NFC East coming into the season, or coming into week two. So I'm not shocked. No, I'm just kidding. I'm pretty shocked. I heard most of the NFL sharp, football sharp betting podcasts that I listened to gave out the Redskins plus 5.5. So as we got closer to Sunday, I thought about playing it myself because, you know, all the different podcasts I heard, and then just kind of thinking about it myself, like their offensive line's banged up with Brandon Brooks. Andre Dillard was out for the season, but that happened preseason, and Lane Johnson missed last week. And Washington's defensive line could be like top three in the league, right? They are certainly above average and were obviously a nightmare for the Eagles. Sacked Wentz eight times. If I know Philly, I got a bunch of Philly fans in my life too. They're pissed. Not how they wanted to start out, and not how I thought the Eagles are going to start out. Despite all their injuries, I thought they'd pull that game out. But if anything, I kind of lean towards the Eagles. Officially, I'll pass though. What's your feeling going into this one?
Yeah, my advice to anyone looking to bet this game, you got to wait until Sunday after, you know, the injuries to the Eagles last year. You mentioned the offensive line was just in shambles. Miles Sanders was a big piece missing as well. And, you know, the receiving core, still not very good. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, that's about it. And then Boston Scott is not even a poor man's Miles Sanders. So I'm going to wait for final injury reports before I even consider placing bet on this game. The Rams looked good against the Dallas Cowboys last week. Malcolm Brown really ran away with that one.
How confident are you in what you just said? Or how confident are you in what you just said? The Rams look good.
Yeah, they look fine. Yeah.
We could easily just put this in on the Cowboys plate.
The Rams, I would take the Rams against that same game day roster the Eagles put out there last week.
100%. I mean, Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald could set records. That
was a goddamn machine. Was a machine. I mean, he had four quarterbacks hit himself. So I read that Lane Johnson said on a podcast he is 100% in for week two. That's huge. They're still not going to have Brandon Brooks, but at least they have more talent on the offensive line or a big piece back, and they can kind of scheme it up a little bit. And as amazing as Aaron Donald is, I'm not going to sit here and talk much about that. Everyone knows how great he is. But I actually think the Redskins' defensive line is better. Like, they are better than the Rams, I think.
But yeah, overall, for sure. Yeah, and you mentioned eight sacks, and that's not against some old journeyman statue quarterback either, right? Like that's Carson Wentz, who is one of the more mobile quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
Sure, he's had a bunch of injuries, trying to be more mobile than maybe he should, but you know, that guy can move around back there. Couldn't move around against the Washington football team. Yeah, so that one's going to be a game time bet for me, probably 12:30 Eastern time Sunday. We'll see who Philly's throwing out there. If it's that same lineup they had last week, I'm taking the Rams. If it's a little bit healthier, you know, I'm probably going to lose the plus or the even money being offered on the Eagles right now at plus 100, but that's worth it for me. I'll get that more of a pick 'em, I suppose. But
this was an epic line move, though. It's moved 5.5 points from preseason. Eagles are favored 4 when the lines opened up. this past summer. Now it's Eagles +1.5, -110 on both sides. The over under is 46.5. Eagles money line is 100. This is the COVID altered or whatever the COVID situation forcing the Philadelphia fans not to be in the stands, not to be at the link, is a huge home crowd disadvantage, or it's a huge lost opportunity for the Philadelphia Eagles, where they could have gotten a major home crowd advantage. It's already a huge benefit that the Rams got to travel to the East and play in a morning game, but having that raucous crowd in there, if they could have done that, would have been, or if they could have had them there, would have been huge. But yeah,
no team's as used to playing without any fans whatsoever than the Los Angeles Rams. So,
no,
they're going to be well equipped.
The Chargers have a lot to say about that.
Well, sure.
But yeah, the line movement scares me. I lean towards the Eagles, but I'm just going to pass because the Rams are fully healthy. Like, they have no injuries, whereas the Philadelphia offensive line is an infirmary unit. So, since you're kind of hosting this, you took the bull by the horns at the first game. I had my whole schedule in front of me. Where do you want to go with the next one?
Oh, I'm just following the BetMGM listings. So let's go. So two passes so far, not a great start.
Can we go with your Super Bowl pick? Let's go with the Falcons at the Cowboys.
Okay, sure. You're jumping ahead of me, but yeah, that works. I like the Falcons +5. -110. I do not like the Falcons to win outright, I don't think, but I think they can keep it within a field goal, and I certainly like the over 52.5. Yeah. Like the over more than the spread, but I think I like the Falcons to cover.
Let me clean that up for you, Eston, real quick. Falcons +4, over under 51.5. Keep going.
Okay.
You like the over even more.
Like the over even more. Still liking the Falcons side of that spread. Don't see a whole lot of games decided by 5 points, so I'm fine with 4.5 there. And yeah, both defenses are bad. Both offenses are dangerous. I just see an all-out shootout. And yeah, I think that over clears quite easily.
Yeah, the over is, like, too popular for me. I'm with you. It makes perfect sense. Both secondaries are weak. Both wide receiver rooms are stacked. Zeke looked great. Dak moved the ball. Go figure. Wasn't able to punch
Todd
it
Gurley
in the red
didn't
zone.
Look bad.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Todd Gurley didn't look bad, and Malcolm Brown just ran it all over the Cowboys last week, so.
I think Todd Gurley is more of, like, at this point, a victim of, like, expectations and where he was drafted. Like, Todd Gurley to me is still a very solid starting running back, right? That's my opinion. As long as you don't think like if you, this isn't the 90s, when you hear starting running back, you shouldn't assume 1100 yards and 10 touchdowns. So I think Todd Gurley is a very good start, or an average starting running back,
right? And he can certainly be a good starter with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley taking, kind of all the attention away from any sort of run game.
Yeah, I think he looks good when he runs the ball. He runs well straight line. He's not as shifty as he once was, but I don't see him like running less hard. He's just a little less dynamic, little touch.
Yeah, and touchdown going over the top of the lines there last week, and yeah, I like him. And yeah, I think you said 4.5. That spreads down to now.
I got it at 4. BetMGM has it at 4. Excuse me.
Okay.
Moving.
Yeah, I'll probably hit the Falcons field goal game.
I'm scared. So this line opened this week, as in yesterday, Sunday night. We're recording Tuesday. It opened at 7.5. All the sharps, all the people with a whole bunch of money in Vegas just went and hammered the Falcons. So we're getting absolute the worst of it, or we're going to get the worst of it, unless it balloons back up somehow, which I don't see that happening, and that's a bummer to me. I just think this is all based on preseason hype, and it's preseason hype that I disagreed with initially. I wasn't big, but I didn't think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs and they're going to win the division. I obviously am pushing back and completely disregarding any Super Bowl talk for them. And last year, the Cowboys were an awesome, electric, DVA-friendly 8-8. They were 8-8. And yep. The Atlanta Falcons were an embarrassing, disappointing, terrible 7-9 that actually finished pretty good down the stretch. So I don't know why the Cowboys would be laying 7.5 with no home field advantage. And let me tell you, my buddy, my college roommate worked for the Dallas Cowboys. I've been to a Dallas Cowboys game. They don't have much of a home field advantage anyways. It's a very chill atmosphere, much more chill than you would think a Dallas Cowboy or Cowboys Stadium atmosphere would be. Dallas is 1-4 against the spread when laying 4.5 to 5.5 points. This is how fast the line's moving. I wrote this note 2 hours ago, and it's already down to 4. So,
yep.
I don't know. Hopefully it goes back up to 4.5 so that trend plays out well. But 1-4 ATS when spotted 4.5 to 5.5 points at home in the Dak era. Sorry, I didn't finish that sentence off. Cowboys O-line just isn't as good this season. And you probably noticed this. Falcons, they got 10 quarterback hits last week on help me out here.
Russell Wilson.
Thank you. Russell Wilson. Now, he holds the ball a little bit, plays a little bit of hero ball. It doesn't have the greatest offensive line, but he's elusive, and you're hitting him. Didn't really do much in terms of the box score, but it should affect Dak Prescott if you can get the same kind of power pass rush. Tack McKinley and Grady Jarrett, you know, they need to duplicate their effort. But I lean Falcons +4. It's just too much line movement. I'm tripping. I'll let you pick the next game.
Okay, so with, you know, kind of three soft agreements and three sort of soft passes, let's go to this one. And boy, do I hope you're going to take the side I think you're going to take. Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Panthers +325, Bucks -400, laying 9.5 points. An angry Tom Brady coming off a loss.
Okay. Let me spoil this for you. I am going to pass. I know.
Oh,
you know I want the Panthers. I know what you're trying to do here, and come on. I kind of want that action. As a matter of fact, if we don't have a bet or if we don't have enough action towards the end of this, I'll circle back and take the 9.5. Panthers are 6-1 ATS in the last 7 meetings in Tampa Bay. The road team is 9-3 ATS in the last 12 Panthers-Buccaneers games. But Christian McCaffrey combined for 100 all-purpose yards in both games last year. Like, he killed everyone. He killed everyone. And, I mean, I know the Buccaneers' defense was, like, way underrated, but he had 100 receiving and rushing yards combined in both games. That's crazy. That's kind of crazy. And when I saw that, I couldn't even take the big fat 9.5, which I want. I want so bad because Teddy Two Gloves. I'm getting a jersey. I have it in the mail.
Okay, well.
I'm going to buy you a jersey, too.
I'll take the black one that says Jones on the back and has an 11.
Whatever, dude. Are you eating 9.5? Like, do you like it? Do you love it? Is it a lock? It's
more than I would like to lay, but I'm fine with it. I see the Bucks winning that by double digits. Yeah. An angry Tom Brady. Bruce Arians just ripped him to the media today, which, you know, bold move for a first year coach of Tom Brady, but taking a page from old Bill Belichick's book, and it's worked before. So Tom can handle it. And, you know, we'll have a healthier Mike Evans, and hopefully we'll have a more involved Leonard Fournette. And, yeah, we both like that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense.
How did you feel about Tom Brady coming into this season?
Lukewarm. I probably liked him more than the average person, I suppose. You were quite high on him. I'm not sure I was that high.
I was not quite high on him. I just thought that he could be a game manager and be less destructive than Jameis Winston. I have him below Cam Newton as in my quarterback tier, but I have him at like 15 or 16, not like that far below him.
Oh. Yeah, so
I guess my point, it was a leading question asking, but I was trying to ask you, like, do you feel better or worse about Tom Brady after week one? I know a lot of people are giving him a pass because it's the Saints, but I mean, it's still, he didn't look good throwing the ball.
No. No, yeah, it's probably a knock back from where I was going into week one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of that's going to be due to Mike Evans not being healthy and not really knowing what the running game was going to be like. Ronald Jones looked fine. Got to be getting more from Leonard Fournette this week and going forward. Gronk didn't do much. So you got to figure they're at least going to connect at some point here soon. You know, if for either one of them to get going, that's kind of where it's going to start for both of them. And yeah, I think the Panthers are a much easier opponent to jumpstart that. And you're right off a tough game against the Saints and you move on.
I don't know how confident you are. We might circle back and bet this one before we go to the window. I got a few passes here on the week two slate that I can go through fast. And if you really like a game, then we'll talk about it, obviously. But Giants at Bears, I'm a Giants fan. I'm not going to bet against them, and not going to bet for them because I won't bet against them. I don't know what to make of the Bears win against the Lions. Trubisky played out of his ass. The Lions gave him the game and should have still won it if that rookie running back caught the ball in the end zone. Speaking of, I don't know. Danny Jones, he looked like a franchise quarterback in the first drive of the second half before throwing that Eli Manning-esque duck to Cam Hayward. He threw two interceptions as a defensive lineman yesterday. I'm huge about the Steelers' defense, huge about their defensive line. However, the Bears have a pretty good defense, or at least they're very talented, so if they can cause that much headache for Dan Jones, then maybe the Bears can too. Saquon Barkley didn't add shit, and it was the offensive line's fault. But I don't know. I'm not going to bet the Giants anyways. I'd pass on this. Oh, real quick, sorry. I'm going to tee it right off to you. I got to do this. The line is the Bears -5.5 over under 41.5. Do you have a lean anyway on this one?
Yeah, it's a lean Bears and
son of a bitch.
A pick on the under. That was a scary bad game from Saquon Barkley in week one. And if I were you or any other New York Giants game or any other New York Giants fan, I'd be terrified right now.
Did you watch
amongst our players, at least, that was the worst game of week one.
Did you watch it?
It was on. I can't tell you I was fully devoted to it, but
I mean, I'm not going to have a contract extension talk about Saquon Barkley. I'm bigger about the running back position than most people. I think, whatever, I'm not going to talk about that, but, like, he was getting drilled, like, before he could even, like, start running up the field. Like, as soon as Daniel Jones handed the ball off, I'm, like, seriously, like, 5 or 6 of his 8 runs, they were just hit him. Like, it was crazy.
Right, and sorry, let me re-say that, I guess. Not to fully put that all on Saquon Barkley. Obviously, more scary for the running game and what it means for Saquon Barkley's future with the Giants, perhaps.
For sure. We're all saying the same thing.
I don't see how you come out of that game with hope that team's going to be able to move the ball on the ground at all this season.
I will. Just a little pushback here before we move on. First game of the season, new system, playing against a team that has a very, very old system and knows what they are, and they're a great defense. So I'm not selling all my Giants stock, but definitely not playing them here. You said you lean to the under?
I pick the under, and I lean to the Bears covering that 5.5.
All right, what do you want to do next?
Let's go back up. We missed Broncos Steelers.
You're hosting this one from here on out. I like when you take control of this little week two pickoff. You're going from here on out.
Okay. Denver +7 on the road. Now they lost 16-14 to the Titans at home. The Steelers, as you and every other New York Giants fan saw, are good. That's why they're laying 7 at home. The over under for that one is a low 41.5. I love the over, and I think maybe I like the Broncos plus 7.
I'm gonna go ahead and pass on that one. Big Ben looked better, but like, I don't know. Like, if I were to go anything, I'd just go Steelers minus 7.5 because Drew Lock, while it wasn't as bad as I projected him to be, the defense of the Titans wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, at least not in week one. And also, you know, the Broncos played with a little bit of an advantage playing up in altitude and being at home. So, I feel like the home team usually just wins in the Broncos at Steelers, right? Or Broncos versus Steelers. These guys have been playing for 50 years. Home team usually wins. I don't know, that's how I look at it. And then I don't know what the specific stat is, but some 80% of the wins in NFL games don't factor in the point spread at all. So like, if you pick the winning side, they're probably just going to cover 80% of the time, something of that nature. So I lean to the Steelers, or I'm going to pass, but if anything, I would lean to the Steelers. What else we got here?
Okay.
We're still in the 1 o'clock window, huh?
Yeah, let's go to my favorite game of the week. And, you know, last week I got, I don't want to say lucky, just right. The Jacksonville Jaguars straight up last week at plus 290 beat the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, moving into week two, you'd think, oh, okay, well, BetMGM, they're going to smarten up, wisen up on the Indianapolis Colts. You know, the whole NFL fan base is going to wisen up to the Indianapolis Colts and realize that they are flat out awful. And Phillip Rivers has no business starting NFL football games in the year 2020. Indianapolis Colts minus 150. The Minnesota Vikings plus 125. Give me a whole lot of that, Jeff.
All right. You got a bet. I'll take the Colts. Okay. You want a minus 150? I got money line minus 150. You want the money line or do you want plus 3?
I want the Vikings plus 125 money line. Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll lock that in as a bet. I like the Colts. Is BetMGM saying the Colts are slightly better because there's like a rumored home field advantage of 1.5? So like they're favored 3 in this one. So are they saying that there's a 1.5? Is that how you are reading it too?
Yeah, does that logic still apply in this world without fans? Or
well, no, that's what like the sharps are saying. That's what like the reduced like home field advantage. It's no longer 3 or 2.5. It's like 1, 1.5. That's what they're saying.
Okay, yeah.
That's what the rumor is. I mean, no one knows, right?
Right. It should. I don't see how this isn't a pick 'em or the Vikings aren't favored. Say what you want about Kirk Cousins, he's better than Phillip Rivers.
Well, because of the injury and roster turnover, there are some pretty glaring holes with the Vikings. And I think it's weaknesses that a good coach like Frank Reich can exploit. My thing is, like, Mini just doesn't have a pass rush. They don't. Ngakoue?
No. And the secondary is bad.
Secondary is really bad. And I thought Mike Zimmer was going to be able to coach these guys up because he's a former defensive backs coach and he's an awesome defensive coach. But they don't have a pass rush, so they're not going to get in Phil's face. That's going to help him. And you know that – I'm not going to say anything mean about Phil. You know he's going to take shots down the field, and this might be overly simple. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't trust the Vikings cornerbacks to be able to track the ball. I see a huge game for T.Y. Hilton. And if T.Y. Hilton and the wide receivers are having success against the Vikings secondary, I got to think that offensive line is going to be able to chew up that weak defensive line. They're going to be able to get some rush yards. And I'll go with BetMGM. I think Esten's the one bugging on this one. I'll take the minus 150.
No, Chris Ballard's the one who's bugging. You know, Phillip Rivers, what did we see from him last year? We saw a whole lot of picks, a league-leading amount of picks. Phillip Rivers, week one, his first game with the Indianapolis Colts, 2 picks, including a game-losing interception late in the game against a supposedly awful Jacksonville Jaguars team. He was out-quarterbacked by a Gardner Minshew. By a what? That wasn't close. Minshew was a million times better last week.
He went 19 and to 20.
He's getting paid a fraction of what Philip Rivers is getting paid as a free agent. Chris Ballard, what are you doing? Resign.
You have that much. I don't even put it that much on Chris Ballard. What are you supposed to do when an all-time like generational quarterback just bounces 2 weeks before the season? And they didn't have the draft capital to be able to get anyone that would start this year.
You don't sign Philip Rivers. That's what you do.
Philip Rivers and Kirk Cousins are my least favorite players in the NFL. Who do you think should they have just ran out Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, we talked about this in our AFC South preview that I would have been much more confident in the Colts if I knew what I was getting with Jacoby Brissett, and that's a shot at a 9-7 record.
I just want
Philip Rivers gives them a shot at 3-13 because they lost their second most winnable game of the season.
Yeah, that was the biggest pick. That was the most picked team for Survivor leagues. I think 33% of the Survivor leagues in the Survivor entries in the Circa contest took a shit because the Colts lost to the Jaguars.
Yeah,
I have four entries in one of the Survivor contests online. I won't say who, but I actually took the Jaguars in one of them because I was
nice.
I thought the same thing with the Colts. Like, this is the best chance they have of winning a game. I was like, you know what? This is the best chance the Jaguars have at winning too. So I took them there. Most sharps or sports gamblers poo poo this narrative, but revenge of Xavier Rhodes. He knows a little something about Adam Thielen. He's playing secondary for the Colts. You got your action, buddy. -150 for the Colts, +125 Vikings. What's the next game?
Let's move on from there to Buffalo, Miami. Any hope in Miami still?
No, I like here's why I side. I like Buffalo -5.5, and I think you do too.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Move on quick. San Francisco 49ers, New York Jets. Any hope in the New York Jets because you were on them last week? How'd that go for you?
I mean, you saw the score. It didn't go well for me. I even put them in a teaser, which they had hit, +13.5, went off the Stanford Wong teaser play. Nice. But even that was they were worse than the 27-17 score actually indicated. They were pretty bad.
That was a 27-17 loss with two forced and recovered fumbles off of Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things.
Just did nothing with them, and that Jets offense, awful. Le'Veon Bell out for who knows how long now. And Sam Darnold isn't a good quarterback.
I don't think there's any counter someone could have about Sam Darnold being a good quarterback. I certainly don't have one. I didn't think he was going to be good coming out of college, so... He's playing up to the capabilities I thought he would.
San Francisco -6.5.
Is that what it says right now?
That's what it was this afternoon.
Okay, let me pull up the recent one because I thought it moved up to. Yeah, it's up to 7 right now. The over under is 42.5, so I'm current with that. The Niners have too many cluster injuries. You know, their wide receiver group is banged up. I'm a little sketched out about their offense. Their offense was actually much weaker last week than it would appear. Raheem Mostert, what did he have, like a 75-yard touchdown? Otherwise...
Yeah, he had that big catch, and he ran and caught one, I think, right?
George Kittle looked like an icon in the first half, and then hyperextended his knee, didn't catch a ball in the second half.
Signed Mohamed Sanu Tuesday night, so we'll see how that goes.
we will see how that goes. Actually, I don't think it'll matter. But like you just described, the Jets looked as bad as you projected them to look in Week One. So I have no faith in them. I thought their defense was going to be a little bit better. The Buffalo Bills just cut through them like knife through warm butter. So that was alarming. But I'll go under four. I like the under 42.5. I do. Just because of all the injuries to the Niners and the Jets. It looks like they have 10 players out there on offense. So, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how they can score. Okay, so next one that I think you're going to disagree with me on, your Detroit Lions against the Green Bay Packers. Packers minus 5.5. I like that side.
Yeah, I'll take it. We got a bet. I'll take the Lions plus 5.5.
Okay.
So Aaron Rodgers is pissed about Jordan Love, huh?
Yeah. That was the best Aaron Rodgers I feel like I've seen in a while.
So I've been
I may have missed one in there, but that I yeah.
We like the Vikings, actually. Or, excuse me, I like the Vikings. And I think you followed me on that pick last week. Heads up to the listeners, by the way. I really liked the Vikings on Tuesday when we recorded the podcast. But then when Danielle Hunter got sent to IR officially, and I looked at the injury report on Friday, I didn't put him in the circuit contest. So I do feel bad about that to the listeners because I gave it out as a pick, and then I ended up scratching it off my own card and not putting any money on it. But I was just – I was shook with all the injuries. And I don't know. They could have had those players in. I think the Packers would have rolled them. So whatever. I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about the Vikings on the show. I'm the same as you. I pivoted by game time. Danielle Hunter being out for the Vikings is what did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we saw a vintage Aaron Rodgers performance, and we saw the best receiving performance by that Packers receiving core that we've certainly seen in 2 or 3 years. And it wasn't just Devontae Adams for a change, although he was incredible. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was great.
Yeah, it looked great. And I thought the Packers were a week 13 and 3 team. And I was so convinced of that. And that's just, you know, you got to stake, you got to plant your flag in the ground on some things as like a sports podcaster or a broadcaster. And the Packers not being as good as their record last year was one of them. However, there is a world where, you know, Aaron Rodgers is better in Matt LaFleur's offense in year two. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is motivated by the draft pick of Jordan Love. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, while he might be grumpy about the decisions made by the front office, I think the front office knows more about player personnel. They're scouting more players than Aaron Rodgers. So maybe he just has to eat shit up front, but it'll end up being better for him. Like you said, like, he had the second best performance of any quarterback besides Russell Wilson. He might have had the best performance. This guy was... it was unreal watching him. And it was like Vince Vaughn and Wedding Crashers. John, I was all state. I'll make a rain out here. Like, the guy was a superhuman out there. It was so impressive. So all that being said, I don't know what happened with the Lions. They were up a few scores in the fourth quarter. You know, and if they I'm going to monitor the injury report, obviously pretty heavy, before I put my own personal money in on it. I'm taking your bet. And that's locked in now. But I'm going to throw some cash on it for sure. If Desmond Trufant or Jeff Okuda can play. Maybe if Jamie Collins could promise to not do that dumb shit that he did last week.
What a dummy.
I mean, hearing about it afterwards and even seeing it in real time, I got what he was doing. And, like, you know, the point that he was making. Like, he was more... it was stupid. Just Google it. I'm not going to explain it to you guys. Jamie Collins should be out there for week two. These teams know each other. Both quarterbacks are healthy. No home crowd. No weather advantage. Or no weather equals less Lambeau at edge. Believe it or not, the Lions have won 6 straight against the spread. I'll take the 5.5. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
So we're getting tight on time. So let's try to pick one more that you're going to disagree with. Then we'll just move on to SNF, MNF, and then we'll get to the window. How's that sound?
SMF. And okay, yeah, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. Yeah, I didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah. Okay, so my last pick that I think I can get you to disagree with me on. Baltimore Ravens, Houston Texans. Ravens minus 7.5. Texans plus 7.5. Over under 52.5.
Say it. You like the over, the under, or the Ravens or Texans?
I like the over, and I'm going to take the Ravens because I think you're going to take the Texans.
Do you like the Ravens? Because I'll take. I'm taking the Texans. Yeah, I'll take 7.5.
Okay,
that's a bet.
I like the Ravens. Let's do it. That's a flat 7.
Oh, okay, cool. That's fine with me.
Okay.
What's your handicap? I actually don't really have any notes on it. I'm going with, I love Deshaun Watson. An extra 4 days of prep. What else do I have? That's about it. And I'm gambling. I like gambling with you. I gotta get even.
The Texans defense just got taken to school by a good offense in the Kansas City Chiefs. Faced another pretty good offense this week. I don't see the – and a very different offense, mind you. So it's not like they can just improve on what they did last week. They got a game plan entirely differently. I don't see them being able to do that. Give me Baltimore -7 and give me the over on that one.
Yeah, I lean to the over too because, you know, it's an indoor fast track. And you think that's going to help both teams. I think the Texans offense is going to be better than week one. Can't be that much worse. They got going towards the second half.
Yeah, that's a fair expectation. I still think Baltimore is able to pull that up. So, okay, on to Sunday Night Football. New England Patriots, Seattle Seahawks. I'm on Patriots +4.
Real quick, though. Oh, we're going to get another bet, though. We both love the Chiefs -8.5, right? I just want us both to go on record here, so if they do lose, we can just look stupid together.
Right? Yes. Yep.
They're going to win by 38 points. Okay, so Sunday Night Football, you're taking the Patriots +4?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We need a button. Lock it in. Let's do it. I'll take the Seahawks -4. The preseason line was Seahawks -4.5. It actually opened a full point lower, though, because the Patriots beat and covered the Miami Dolphins. Cool. Like, you beat the Dolphins at home. Like, not a big deal.
The Seahawks beat the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not going to clap my hands for that.
Don't you dare. You had the Falcons in the goddamn Super Bowl. Don't you dare.
I don't remember.
You're the worst. All right, fine. We won't harp on it then.
Strike it from the record.
Cam Newton looked good in his debut. I love Cam Newton. But Russell Wilson looked like the MVP. And I have him as my MVP this year. He's never had an MVP vote. He's going to get all the momentum. The hashtag let Russ cook. They let him throw the ball more, and he just absolutely torched the Falcons. You know, he's thrown multiple picks in a game 11 times in his 128 career games. The Patriots' defense feasted off of Ryan Fitzpatrick last week. They had 3 picks. Plainly speaking, they're just not going to do that against Russell Wilson. They can't count that in. I don't think you can count that into the handicap. Or at least I wouldn't. You can do what you want. Seahawks are 16-3 straight up, 13-5-1 ATS since Wilson's rookie year in primetime home games. You're not getting the 12th man, granted, but who's comfier in Seattle in primetime, right? It doesn't. Sure, you don't have the home crowd, but you still got Russell Wilson at home. And Cam Newton is 1-5 in his career against the Seahawks. He only averages 34.8 rushing yards per game. There's been 4 running backs in the Pete Carroll era or tenure to ever rush for more than 50 yards against the Seattle Seahawks. It just doesn't happen. You saw Jamal Adams, right? He looked like a bleeping missile with limbs. Holy shit. Holy shit. He's like... Yeah. If playing optimally, he looks like a hybrid of Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. That is a scary man right now. I'll take the Seahawks. People love Belichick primetime, and I don't blame him. I mean, that's been paying for 20 years.
All right, so that's our fourth bet. We're not betting totals against each other, but
I mean, you're down.
Nah, I'm on the under 44.5, I think. You touched on the defenses. Jamal Adams, obviously amazing. That week one performance was fantastic. Yeah, I like the under on that. 44.5 seems high for as much offensive talent there is on the Seattle side and how good Cam Newton looked last week. I think the defense has come to play on primetime Sunday Night Football.
All righty. Monday Night Football to wrap it up.
Monday night. -6.5, New Orleans Saints. 51.5 total. Give me the Raiders +6.5 at home and their home opener in Las Vegas.
Where are you getting these
5 and
lines?
A half, that's down to now.
You are the worst.
I got them this afternoon.
You are the
I
worst.
I got them this afternoon. Okay.
Come on. You're trying to cheat me out of a point because you know I'll take that.
5.5. I'm on the Raiders. Yeah.
Yeah, I locked in a bet already this week on BetMGM's sports app. So I'm a little bummed out now that Michael Thomas is going to be out for a few weeks. The Allegiant, I think that's how you say Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I drove past it a few times when I was in Vegas this past week. It looks sick. My college roommate who worked for the Cowboys went to the Raiders when they started building their stadium in Vegas. So he works for the Raiders. Bummer that they're going to have no fans in the stands the first year, especially for him who's working in ticket sales. But anyways, that's part of the narrative. I think Vegas would be a huge, huge home ground edge had they been able to have it. You know, they're going to be crazy about their football, about the Raiders. But I feel like there's going to be motivation for Drew Brees and Sean Payton to spoil it for them. They're just going to want to be the Grinch of the Allegiant Stadium unveiling. They're typically strong on Monday Night Football. I don't have Derek Carr's primetime numbers in front of me, but I can tell you they're not what the Saints are. I think 5.5 is a digestible number, and it's also going to be an indoor track dome. I think that, again, helps the Saints. They're known to struggle out of the gate in week one, so they did struggle offensively last week. Alvin Kamara kind of bailed out Drew Brees. I think they'll be better this week, and the Raiders' offense will be much worse not going against a crappy Carolina defense.
Is that our fifth bet of the show?
It is.
Okay.
This is easy. We're just gonna wrap up our conversation, then turn around at the window and be like, all right, let's put these in. We got our slips. We don't even really need the window this time. We're just betting each other.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
Now, quickly, I want to talk some U.S. Open golf.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. And you do. Okay. You dropped an awesome, couple awesome U.S. Open handicaps today, so definitely talk about them.
Yeah, thank you. Sportsacquire.com for all U.S. Open coverage. We got outrights. We got fantasy power rankings. Got prop bets. And we got a special look at Tiger Woods. Do not bet Tiger Woods this week. Please do not. He's plus money to miss the cut. I actually like that one quite a bit. But just talking outrights on this show, there's three guys I like, three different tiers. Super long shot, Graham McDowell, plus 30,000. He won the 2010 U.S. Open. This is his last year of exemption for that. So he's well-motivated to get invited back again. He's up to 59th in the official world golf ranking again. And he won the European Tour Saudi International earlier in 2020. A European Tour event, sure, but that's a big one. They bring out a lot of the PGA Tour best. Dustin Johnson's there every year. A big appearance fee. So, Graham McDowell, that wasn't just your ho-hum European Tour event. That was an international event, and he won that. Plus 30,000 is big value. And this at Wingfoot Golf Club in New York. It's going to play tough, the winning score is going to be right around even par, if not over. You want to look at these older veterans. Graham McDowell, definitely a guy who can be in there on Sunday. Mid-tier long shot, Martin Kaymer, plus 10,000. The 2014 U.S. Open champ, he won by 8 strokes with only 2 other players finishing under par that week. 4 top 10s and 7 European Tour events in 2020. He missed the cut at the PGA Championship, but let's write that one off. He's up from 125th to 87th in the official world golf ranking. And then finally, closer to the favorites, Rory McIlroy, plus 1,600, 4-time major winner. He was the outright betting favorite at plus 700 in mid-April during this pandemic pause. Plus 700 to plus 1,600 now. He hasn't been playing great since the tour returned to play. He had the birth of his child a couple weeks ago now. So distraction free for the most part. He acknowledged that was an issue leading up to the birth, but he's back now. He had a stronger showing at the Tour Championship, but of course he likes in East Lake. And he is one of the best golfers in the world. He can do well in the tough conditions expected at Wingfoot.
All right. Do you have any other I don't know, sports handicaps or things to bring to the window with you? I'm all football here.
Yeah, you go ahead to football, and I'll circle back and try to grab some that we didn't discuss so much in our head-to-heads here.
All right, well, I'm regurgitating whatever we said already in the head-to-heads, man. I'm dragging our podcast down. I'm sorry, Esten. You're bringing all the fresh, original content. I'm going, I think the Lions plus 5.5 is a lock. I'm taking that to the window, and I'm betting you. Wow. So I'm going to lose to both MGM and the House of Esten. Mm-hmm. Under 43.5, Bengals at Browns. Check that out on Thursday Night Football. And Seahawks minus 4. Those were the bets that I was going to lock in anyways. Got two of them against Esten and two of them against the BetMGM. So what are you going to the window with?
Yeah, I'm going to lock in that plus 125 Minnesota Vikings against Indianapolis Colts. Again, I do not want to be mistaken for how awful I think Philip Rivers is. He's awful. He's very bad. And please continue to bet against him anytime his opponent gets plus money. And the other one I feel the most confident in this week, the Buffalo Bills. This is one we agreed on. Minus 5.5. That was correct. Yes, minus 5.5 Buffalo Bills. Absolutely. And the under 41.5 there. Bills defense is good. The Dolphins didn't do anything against a good New England Patriots defense last week. Now, Buffalo's not really a walk in the park after that either. So I see that one going well under the 41.5.
All right. Is that it? Is that all we got?
I'm good. We got 5 bets lined up. I'll save you from any more damage to yourself right there.
Yeah. The more we talked, we were probably going to get to 6 or 7, and I can't go that much in the hole to you. Right now, I'm down two games to one, and me and Esten's head-to-head NFL pick'em going into week 2. I thought week 1 was awesome. The NBA playoffs has been really entertaining. Stanley Cup finals should be great. When's the U.S. Open? Is it this weekend?
Starts Thursday morning, Wingfoot Golf Club in Mamaroneck, New York.
Awesome. All right. Well, good luck on all your bets with all those sporting events. Be sure to circle back with us next week, and we're going to break down week 3. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup finals at that point. And also maybe do a quick recap of the U.S. Open. Hopefully Esten cashes some tickets. Hopefully I cash some tickets. We can't split the 5 games, but you're going down, buddy. I'm going to even the series out.
Hey, I hope you get yourself a little bit more on the board and make it a bit better of a showing, at least.
Well, I hope you guys out there, the listeners, are cashing your tickets too, or cashing your bets as well, not just living vicariously through our wins and losses. But until next week, we'll see you guys later.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.